This is a special best of edition of today's issues. This is Trivia Friday, the number to call with your question or your answer to a question.
How many lips does a horse have?
How many lips?
That's correct.
Lips does a horse have?
That's right.
How many lips? Is that what you said?
Yeah, lips.
That's right, lips.
All right, wait. This could be a joke here.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Trivia Friday here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Wildman, and joining me to co-host is Ed, the pride of Nashua, New Hampshire, Vitagliano. Nashua, New Hampshire, which is, what part of New Hampshire would that be in?
Southern. Oh. It's just across the state line from Taxachusetts.
So y'all were known as the Southern Rednecks?
Yes, that's right.
Anywhere you live?
We were the Southern Rednecks.
Okay. Made fun of by your Northern kin?
Yeah, we kind of made fun of them.
Oh, did you?
And we made fun of Vermont. You know, people in New England, we kind of made fun of everybody. You do to somebody else before
it gets done
to you.
Good New England tradition.
That's right.
Make fun of everybody. JJ, the pride of Owensboro, Kentucky, Jasper, sits across from me. Good morning, JJ.
Good morning. And Adam and Eve may have had the perfect marriage.
How's that?
He didn't have to hear about all the men she could have married, and she didn't have to hear about what a great cook his mother was.
But all then they had to argue about, how come we don't have a belly button?
Hey, can I throw one more in? This was from Twitter. I thought this was so funny. Of course, on American Family Radio, we worship the one true God, Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. But there are a lot of people out there worshiping other gods. In fact, there are devil worshipers. Someone said, think about this. Now, just think about this. Devil worshipers are literally worshiping a guy who lost a fiddling competition to some hillbilly in Georgia. There's your thought for the day.
You want to make that your God?
That's inspiration, JJ. I appreciate that. All right, so here we go. This is how we do this. Trivia Friday is also known as
Learning University.
And Learning University is on the air. And we're going to ask three trivia questions each, and then we're going to ask you to call in and answer and or ask. We prefer that you do both. Let's see. Don't call the number I give.
This is a special best of edition of today's issues.
Okay. So we have a 4-week. So the fifth week is when you can call in. So we have a 4-week.
Moratorium.
Yes. Yes. Call in ban.
Yes.
And no federal judges overruled that, that I'm aware of.
So far.
We want as many new people an opportunity to get in on the program as possible. So if you've gotten in on the last 4 weeks, please don't call. The phone number to reach us on Trivia Friday is as follows.
This is a special best of edition of today's issues.
And we will get you on the air. And one of you, should you answer the mystery question correctly, will hear this sound. Yes, the beloved cowbell will ring, and all the world will know at that point that you won yourself a T-shirt.
Free T-shirt.
Trivia Friday T-shirt is yours if you hear that sound. And Ed, please describe our T-shirt.
All right. Please describe it. Well, it is a beautiful gray with purple and black on it. So there's your color scheme.
Would that be teal in a way, or is that just straight up purple?
Maybe violet. I don't know.
I think violet. I think you're right. Yeah.
Okay. And so we're holding it up for those of you who are watching on Facebook or on YouTube. You can go to either of those and type in today's issues, and you can watch us, not sure why, but you can see the T-shirt.
Yeah.
And it's got our faces on it,
kind
of caricatures.
Yeah.
It says Trivia Friday Learning University. Very, very attractive. You can wear these if you're ever invited to a formal dinner.
You don't want to hold the description under 10 minutes.
Yeah. This is a formal wear.
Yeah.
And so now if you don't win with the answering the mystery question, you just want to buy one, you can go to afastore.net. These cost $15 a piece, which we think is reasonably priced for T-shirts nowadays, and also helps the ministry.
Yeah. $15. Go to afastore.net and buy your own. afastore.net, afastore.net. buy your own.
Buy one for the whole family.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, I mean, one for each.
A lot of people are. And yeah. They are nice T-shirts, and they are very durable, and they do last a long time. So, is that J.J. Jasper, one question for you quickly. You travel and speak to a lot of groups on behalf of AFA and AFR. You do a lot of pro-life banquets, such. You do a lot of speaking, and I wanted people to know your calendar is free the next few months.
Thank
right?
you for that. Yeah, I've got a pastors and wives event, a Christmas banquet coming up in a few weeks, but a lot of open dates in November and a lot of open dates in December. I got a call from Georgia yesterday for a pregnancy center banquet for next year. So some of the pregnancy center directors may be thinking about their banquet for 2019. You can go to jjjasper.com, jjjasper.com. Thank you for that.
Absolutely. All right, what you got, Ed?
All right, here are my three questions. First, what is the longest one-syllable word in the English language? What is the longest one-syllable word in the English language? I think we've had longest word in the English language. This is longest one-syllable word. Second question.
That's
this
not
is
a trick question, right? I mean, it's not.
No, kind of, okay. No, it's not trick.
Nothing to do with Mary Poppins. I think she introduced one of those words years
like
ago.
Supercalifragilistic.
Like an aborigine. It's not like an aborigine word.
No, no.
Nobody's
no.
sees it except on National Geographic or something.
Right.
Okay.
Here, now, I thought I like to come up with kind of themes for different kind of questions. So for the next several months, I'm going to start throwing a few of these in. They're fill in the blank for old TV ads. Fill in the blank for old TV ads. So here's the one I'm going to do for this this week. Here's the old TV ad. You fill in the blank. Strong enough for a man, but blank. Strong enough for a man, but blank.
I like that.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
Yeah. All right, third question, history question. This is a little bit difficult, but some of you will come up with this one. What is the name of the famous 11th century tapestry depicting the Norman conquest of England? That very, very important historical event. What is the name of the famous 11th century tapestry depicting the Norman conquest of England? Now, that was not the guy from Cheers, Norm, okay?
Nor had nothing to do with Monty Python.
Nothing to do with Monty Python. That's okay. Right. This is the Norman conquest of England.
Here's what I've got. First question, which Nobel Prize-winning author wrote The Old Man and the Sea? Which Nobel Prize winner wrote The Old Man and the Sea? Second question, what is the first color mentioned in the Bible? What is the first color mentioned in the Bible? Third question, true or false? Over 100,000 Americans have purchased alien abduction insurance. Is that true or false? Over 100,000 Americans have purchased alien abduction insurance. This is not a Canadian or someone from Mexico abducting you. This is the from another planet. If someone from another planet abducts you and takes you aboard their UFO, over 100,000 Americans have purchased alien abduction insurance. True or false?
Now, I'm just going to say, okay, so if that, and we never know with you, JJ, whether this is true or false, but if that's true, that is a scam because you know good and well the insurance company is going to say, oh, yes, you have the insurance. We just want you to prove that you were abducted.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have to come back.
To collect, obviously. Yes.
Yeah, so you'd to show proof.
I think the insurance companies are banking on them holding you.
Yes, that's right. Or maybe you can cut a deal with the aliens and
right.
you say, hey, listen,
right.
I'll give you half.
Plus,
I keep half.
If you got some kind of deal where the aliens abduct you, but your family member gets the money, then if you come back, the insurance company is going to want their money back.
I think I saw that plot on NCIS.
Yes, with Mark Harmon.
Yeah, the wife said, oh, no, he was abducted by
Gibbs.
Aliens.
With Gibbs?
Yeah, with Gibbs.
Oh, no, my little chickadee. Further proof, you can fool all of the people some of the time. Some of the people all of the time. My.
That's a great question, man.
Here are my three questions from American history. I'm giving half the answer away there. Who passed the quill with the remark, there, I guess King George can read that. Who passed the quill with the remark, there, I guess King George can read that. And then followed by, how you like them apples?
I think you're ad-libbing now.
How you like
them
apples.
All right. What was the second question? What was the first book set in movable type?
Good question.
What was the first book set in movable type? And then a scripture question. Who was Jacob's youngest son? Who was Jacob's youngest son? He had, how many did he have?
I know. Oh, a bunch.
12 tribes. I mean, right? Am I right?
From Abraham, Isaac, and
no,
Jacob.
Didn't Jacob, wasn't he the one with 12 tribes?
Right. Yeah,
the 12
right.
tribes Israel. Of Israel?
Yeah.
Well, Ben, you got all kind of
all kind of sons.
I want to know which one
is the
youngest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's go. Let's get
all
started.
Right, let's go. I like it. We're going to go to Louisiana first. And for some reason, the name just dropped off the
face of the earth.
Yeah, I just clicked on it, and the person's name disappeared. So somebody's on the line.
They're going to feel bad if they don't have alien abduction insurance. If a UFO I don't know just who, sucked them up.
The name just disappeared. I don't know who. Is there? Okay.
Yeah,
is there somebody is somebody on the line?
Hello?
I don't know who to say.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes.
Speak again.
What?
Yes. All right. What's your name?
Patricia.
Patricia. I'm sorry. The computer messed up, and when I clicked on you, your name disappeared. So, Patricia, thank you. Sorry for that little glitch there. Welcome to Trivia Friday. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'll do both.
Okay. Which question would you like to try to answer?
The one about the man... The manly thing?
Oh, you mean...
manly thing.
The fill in the blank for the old TV ad?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here,
yes.
Patricia, here's the ad, the tagline. Strong enough for a man, but fill in the blank.
Gentle enough for a woman.
What? Say again?
Gentle enough for a woman.
I'll give that to you. Made for a woman. Strong enough for a man, but made for a woman, or gentle enough for a woman. That was an old deodorant.
Or a secret, wasn't it?
I don't, was it secret? Okay.
You know, way to start us off.
I tell you what, you couldn't get away with those stereotypes today.
No.
Uh-uh. So you're saying women aren't strong?
Right. You're saying men aren't gentle?
Men can't be gentle?
Yeah.
Okay.
You wouldn't get away with
it. Yeah,
this, right?
but that's it was secret, and that was, she's right, from the probably 70s, 80s, right in there.
Yeah. Good job, Patricia. All right. What's your question for us?
Okay. One day of sunshine on the moon last about how many days on the earth?
Ooh, that's a tough question.
That's a good question.
One day of sunshine on the moon. Oh, you know what?
That sounds like a line from
Pink Floyd.
Well, you know, yeah, Floyd, Pink Floyd song. Talked about this in one of his projects, The Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah,
it was included in those lyrics.
Now, this seems like what Patricia's asking. Patricia, we're going to talk amongst ourselves here. We're not ignoring you, but we're not going to give our answers just yet. Now, the moon does not revolve, doesn't rotate. So I'm wondering, one day of sunshine, there's one side of the moon, isn't it, that always
stays dark,
faces the,
away
am I right about
sun?
That?
It's called the dark side of the moon, right?
Yeah, I thought that's a part. All right, you know,
yeah,
I don't know.
I think, Patricia,
I think you stumped us. What's the answer?
14 Earth days.
Is one day on the moon?
One day of sunshine on the moon lasts for about 14 Earth days.
Wow.
All I can say is ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
If you're a day laborer on the moon, you are going to get cheated as far as your wages are concerned.
That's right.
Hey, thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Patricia. All right, so we're going to continue on. I'm
going
to go.
She's always gone anytime she goes away.
I don't know how you can. How do you remember all that stuff? Mm. Like when you say it, I remember it, but you've obviously got it in your, at the front of your Rolodex.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to go to Iowa. I'm looking at the name now. So, okay, it didn't disappear. Dave, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Oh, hello, you guys.
Dave, how in the world are you?
Oh, come along. I have much to praise the Lord for.
Amen.
My brother had a massive heart attack over 2 weeks ago, and now he's doing so much better.
Oh, wow. You do have a lot to be thankful for. This is going to be a very special Thanksgiving for you and your family.
Yes, it is.
Dave, you want to ask, answer, or do both?
I'll do both.
Which one you want to answer?
I'll try the old man in the sea question.
Here's the question. Which Nobel Prize winner wrote The Old Man and the Sea?
Ernest Hemingway.
Yes, sir. Good job.
What else did he was he known for? He wrote a lot.
Well, he was the inventor of secret deodorant and antiperspirant.
That too?
Yes.
He came
up with that line, strong enough for a man but made for a woman.
I think he created Spider-Man, but that Stan Lee fellow stole it from him.
Yes. Stan Lee.
No, he wrote a lot of classics, but I don't know.
I'm asking a serious question, and your answers just reek with mockery.
Hey, well, I bet you Dave knows because, what a prolific writer. What else did he write, Dave?
Oh, the sun always rises.
Mm-hmm.
On the moon. You
know. Well, he's one of the greatest novelists of the 20th century.
Yes.
Right.
To this day, they have the Ernest Hemingway look-alike contest in the Florida Keys. And they really do. They have all these guys gather because I think that's where he maybe did some of his writing or spent his later days or something.
Yeah.
They do that each year. Dave, what's your question for us?
Okay. My question is going back to the Civil War era. In the very early days of the Civil War, whoever was wounded, you know, like the northern, on the northern side, they didn't have any type of doctors, nursing staff, officers or surgeons and doctors in the military to care for them. So my question is, who rose to the challenge of caring for wounded soldiers, their medical care, food, clothing, and whatnot, and what did they call that type of care?
I think I've got this one, guys. Dave, I think who you're looking for is Florence Nightingale, and she birthed the modern nursing profession.
No. She's part of that, yes. But I'll let you take another stab at it.
You know what? That's all I've got is Florence. So what about
you? Yeah, no, I don't know. That's a good
Florence
question.
Florence Henderson.
She did some important stuff with the Partridge Family.
Brady Bunch.
All right, tell us the answer.
Yeah. Okay, it was it fell of the people, the populace, rose to the occasion. They banded together. Wounded soldiers, when they got to where they were being cared for, there was just nothing ready for them. Just bare rooms. They had to sleep on wooden planks. There was no food, nothing for them. So the civilian populace banded together and provided them food, clothing, medicine, and civilian doctors and surgeons. And this was spearheaded by Annie Wittenmeyer that lived up in Iowa. And other leaders that came up through Missouri and whatnot, and they called that type of care sanitary issues.
That is a good history lesson. Dave, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Have a great weekend, buddy. Thank you for listening to AFR.
Okay. All right. Well, that was an excellent history lesson. You don't think about those kind of things.
No.
We take a lot of that stuff for granted. And as Dave was sharing, you know, that kind of warfare was different. And so people had to rise to the occasion. So, all right. We continue on. We go to Arkansas, and Samuel is on the line. Samuel, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Hey, thanks.
You want to ask, answer, or do both, Samuel?
I'd like to do both, please.
All right. Which question do you want to answer?
The one about the tapestry.
Okay. What is the name of the famous 11th century tapestry depicting the Norman conquest of England?
I think you say it, the Bayeux tapestry.
That is correct.
Wow.
The Bayeux tapestry. And it's,
how do you spell that?
B-A-Y-E-U-X. And
where,
it is
it
really
found?
Long. I don't know. I'm sure some museum in England. But it's really, really long. And they have
now,
all
are we
the,
talking about the same Normandy in France that we that the beach?
Well, Normandy, the name Normandy comes from the fact that the Normans lived there and from there moved on over to conquer England.
But they were from France?
That's the area of France. I think they were actually historically from where Anglo-Saxons were from, but they had come and settled there, and then they invaded.
Can I give a little linguistical tidbit?
Sure.
Yes, sir, Samuel.
We're cool with tidbits.
Yeah, so basically you have him to blame for the spelling of government. So when the Normans came in, they didn't speak English. They speak Norman, which was a kind of it was a type of French, basically. And so that was the courtly language. And so that's why in English we spell government like we do, because we get it from Normandy. So many of our political and royal words are from him, from French.
Wow. Really? Okay.
Interesting.
Now, who do we blame for the way we pronounce government? Who do we blame for the way government operates? So is that, can we blame the French for that? I'm open to that, but
yeah, they gave us the Statue of Liberty.
Oh yeah, we cut them some slack on that.
Yeah, yeah. You know. All right, thank you, brother.
Well, you got a question for us, right?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Hey, fire away.
Okay, which famous classical composer had 20 children?
which what now?
Classical composer had 20 children.
Wow. Oh, my word.
And as I can just tell you right now,
there are a lot of
while he's in his study, composing his music, his wife's going, can I get a little help here, please?
Right.
Okay, well, can you leave your piano for a while and come help you with the kids?
One of them used to dip his head in a bucket of freezing cold water before he composed. I think
for real?
Yeah, for real. I think it was Beethoven. So it could have been all for the same reason. It could have been, man, I've got all these children and all this going on. I'm just going
right
to put
now.
My head
I can't help
in freezing
right now,
cold
honey,
water.
My head's frozen. As soon as it thaws out, I'll be in there to help you.
I got your back.
Yeah.
You want to say Beethoven?
Sure, Beethoven.
I'm going to say Mozart.
All right, we got one Beethoven, one Mozart.
You all say Chopin, just to have our bases covered.
And I'm going to say Chopin. Any of us right?
Oh, no, they're all wrong. It was J.S. Bach.
Oh, Bach.
Johann
Sebastian Bach. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, that's had 20 children?
Yes, sir. Well, back then the infant mortality was high, so only 10 lived to adulthood. But yes, sir.
All right.
That's quite the pro-life statement. That's awesome.
Yes.
Thanks, Samuel. Have a great weekend.
All right. Let's take a break right here. When we get back, we shall continue on with Trivia Friday on American Family Radio. We will repeat our questions. Hey, you want to watch the show? You can go to Facebook or YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues and you can join us.
On the next Today's Issues.
Walker Wildman is handling our Facebook presence in the world.
Yeah, if you have a Facebook account, just type in Today's Issues in your search bar, and then our page will pop up. And you can watch the show there every day, or you can view all the articles that we talk about.
Right, but you can also be our friend.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, our tours each year fill up quickly. And so I'm letting you know now, don't tell anybody else now, that the 2019 Spiritual Heritage Tours are planned for June and for September. So if you want to go this year, that is 2019, you need to let us know as soon as you can. Visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. Spiritualheritagetours.com. Again, those are two separate trips, one to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown, and the other one to Washington, D.C., and George Washington's Mount Vernon. Stephen McDowell, who's the president and founder of the Providence Foundation, is our historian, and he'll be on both trips telling us the behind the scenes and the stories of who, what, when, and why.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Since 1971, Liberty University's values have been defined by a commitment to excellence and a biblical worldview. Their mission of training champions for Christ has remained the foundation of everything they do. It's that mission that propels Liberty students to excellence in the classroom and beyond. More than 550 programs of study from undergrad to doctoral degrees, effectively preparing students to enter a competitive job market. Visit liberty.edu to learn more. That's liberty.edu. The University of Colorado is facing a federal lawsuit after they refused to allow a Christian club to have Christian leaders. Ratio Christi is a Christian apologetics organization. Members learn how to defend the faith and explain how the Bible applies to various issues. Any student of any faith can become a member, but leaders must be Christians. The University of Colorado says that rule is a violation of its discrimination policies. Alliance Defending Freedom is representing the Christian Club. They point out a clear double standard in the university's policy. For example, they allow fraternities that only admit men and sororities that only admit women. Attorney Travis Barham tells me the university is clearly discriminating against the Christian Club because of its religious beliefs. He said it would be like forcing a vegan club to appoint a meat eater as president. I'm Todd Starnes.
Ryan Fisher here. What the media is not telling you about the illegal alien invasion. President Trump abandons his promise to crack down on drug traffickers. An update on the Democrats' attempt to steal elections in Florida and Georgia. Plus, most people don't know that the Pilgrims tried socialism first. How'd that work out? On Focal Point.
Here we come, walk down the street. Get the funniest looks from everyone we meet. Hey, hey, we're the monkeys, and people say we monkey around. But we're too busy singing to put anybody down.
All right, there you go. That didn't make you feel good. You don't. You better check your soul. That's all I got.
That
say.
Show is one of the classics.
Yeah.
Man, that show really made you think.
Yeah.
The monkeys.
Hey, you know, I've told this before, but it's been so long. And I'll be quick. For those people who email us telling us to shut up
and ask questions.
Quit telling stories and take more calls because we're tired of hearing your stories. Which really is edifying to us.
Yes.
Encourages us as in the ministry here. But this, I was in the Memphis airport and I was walking from one. I was waiting on a flight to leave because that's where I fly out of most of the time because it's close to our home, an hour and a half. I was there. Well, there was this fella walking from, I could see him coming toward me, and then he was going, he was like looking at the monitor trying to find out, trying to get oriented. And so he walks right up to me, and he says, where is so-and-so? I said, it was just he and I, and I said, I could tell he was looking for something. And I pointed in the right direction. Well, I promise you, if it wasn't this the drummer for the Monkees, he was.
Oh, Pete.
No, Mickey something.
Oh, Mickey Dolan?
Wasn't he the drummer?
Yes, he was, because that guy, Pete.
It had to be him. I don't know where he was going. But it had to be him. It was him. But I didn't want to go, hey, you're. Hey, I know, aren't hey, you? Can I get a picture with you?
In right case here? It wasn't him?
Yeah, in case it wasn't him. But it had to be him. I mean, but anyway, he was.
Mickey
there,
Dolan.
There was yeah. My.
Davy Jones.
With, yeah. With
the monkeys.
With the monkeys. All right. Let's repeat our questions. Here's the phone number to reach us on today's issues on American Family Radio's Trivia Friday. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you want to email us, just send us an email to comments@afr.net. Comments at afr.net. If you want to watch the show, go to Facebook or YouTube, type in today's issues. All right, Ed, let's repeat our question.
All right. What is the longest one-syllable word in the English language? Second question, I know this is incredibly easy, but I just like hearing people say it. What team won the World Series this year? What team won the World Series this year? And third question, this is a little bit trickier. What is an anagram? What is an anagram?
Here's what I've got.
Anagram?
Anagram.
Like a cracker?
Different from that.
I'm not supposed to say that.
Okay, and...
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, and I've just lost my computer again. All right.
Here's what I've got. I'll give my questions. First question, what is the first color mentioned in the Bible? What is the first color mentioned in the Bible? Second question, true or false, Americans have purchased alien abduction insurance. Is that true? Over 100,000 Americans have purchased alien abduction, and we're talking about not illegal aliens from Mexico or Central America. We're talking UFO type. Over 100,000 Americans have purchased alien abduction insurance. Is that true or false? And then I'll add one. One of the coolest guys in Hollywood during his brief career, James Dean, appeared as the leading actor in just 3 movies. Name 2 of them.
Ooh.
So James Dean, the bad boy of Hollywood, one of the coolest guys in Hollywood. He was the leading man in 3 movies. Name 2 of the 3.
I definitely can do 1. I might be able to do 2 if I'm thinking about it.
My turn?
Your turn.
Okay, here are my 3 questions. Who passed the quill with the remark, there? I guess King George can read that.
How do you like them apples?
Yeah. Number 2, what was the first book set in movable type? What was the first book in the history of the world in movable type? And a question from the Bible, who was Jacob's youngest son? All right, back to the phones we go, Ed.
All right. We go to Florida, and Edith is on the line. Edith, welcome to Trivia Friday. Hello, Edith, you there? Edith, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Edith, welcome to the program. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Oh, I'll do both.
Okay, which question do you want to try to answer?
I want to try to answer the insurance question about the aliens.
All right. Here's the question. Over 100,000 Americans have purchased alien abduction insurance. Is that true or false?
I'm going to guess that's probably true.
Edith, it is 100% true.
That's true?
And let me tell you the backstory. There's the insurance company in Florida, the UFO abduction insurance company in Altamont Springs, Florida, they sell a $10 million policy, but they say they've actually paid claims. They've sold more than 100,000 policies. It has to be an alien, not from this planet, that abducts you. They have to take you aboard their UFO, and you have to have significant proof that happened.
And they've paid claims?
And so whenever I saw that part, I went on, I dug a little deeper, and I thought, wait a minute. You know, you can't stay in business if you pay a $10 million. And they said that it's It's the policy is a one-time $9.95. It's a one-time thing, and you've got the $10 million policy. But then the fine print, it says they pay you in $1 a year. That's the payout. And they said this company has been in trouble over the years for having a frivolous or gimmicky insurance policy.
I guess there's
another word for that. Fraud might be another word.
Oh, good job, Edith.
Yeah, good job. Here's the deal. If I'm out in the farmer's field looking at some unusual crop circles, and I see a bright light and I see a rubbery-faced fella behind me that says, take me to your leader, the first thing I'm going to be concerned about is my laundry bill going up.
Oh,
are you sure that's not Broward County?
Duly noted.
Hey, I don't know where Altamont Springs, Florida. It may be.
That's Jacksonville area.
Oh, is that where it is? They've been in operation since 1987, and it says that Lloyd's of London, on a separate thing, they've sold 20,000 policies of UFO alien abduction.
I guess people are afraid of stuff enough that they do what, they'll get insurance for all kinds of things.
100,000 people times $10, and the chance of you ever having to pay anybody is zero.
Wow.
So, yeah.
All right, Edith,
well,
good job.
I'm in Jacksonville, but I'm not guilty.
All right, Edith, what's your question for us?
Okay, what do Southerners call the leftover broth from cooked greens?
What do Southerners call the leftover broth from cooked greens? All right, guys, I don't eat greens. I ain't from around here.
We should know that.
I love turnip greens.
I do, too.
I'm not big on collards. The broth.
Oh, is it? Okay, hang on. We're going to talk amongst ourselves, Edith. Don't say yes or no. Is that pot liquor? Is that what they call pot liquor?
You know what? I'm sorry. I should know this.
I think it is pot liquor.
All right, Edith, is it pot liquor?
Yes, it is.
All right.
There you go, Ed.
The Yankee
comes through.
Yeah. We're going to give you a big pan of cornbread.
Actually, Cindy Roberts, I have to confess, I can see Cindy Roberts, who is answering our phones right through the glass, and she mouthed it. Right. And, of course, I knew immediately what pot liquor was. But
hey,
I have heard that.
What the red products were called that we dropped down into the pot liquor?
Say again?
Do you know what the bread products are that we dropped down into the pot liquor?
No, I don't know.
I got to say, that sounds pretty disgusting.
Sounds delicious to me. What is it?
Corn Dodgers.
Corn Dodgers. There you go.
Corn Dodgers and Corn Pones.
They moved to Los Angeles back in
the late
50s.
Yeah. Boy, if you take cornbread and sop up some bean juice or something, that's some good eating right there.
Oh, that is not.
Sopping up something.
I disagree. You guys are making me want to...
sopping up.
Engage in reverse peristalsis.
Edith, have a wonderful weekend. Thank you for listening to
reverse
AFR.
Reverse what?
Reverse.
What'd you say?
Engage in reverse peristalsis.
Does that hurt? It sounds like it.
That's what you call it.
You don't want your doctor coming in and telling me, we're going to have to
throwing
reverse
up.
That.
That's what
you call
do.
It?
Throwing up.
Oh, I thought it was something the aliens did when they did that medical on you after they got you up in that spaceship.
We're going to have to reverse that throttlesolysis.
You're on the UFO ship.
Are you going to be in a bad way?
The aliens, and you're saying, is this covered under my healthy you?
Yeah, what's the copay for that if they take you aboard their ship and give you a thorough medical exam?
Now, folks, don't start emailing us and accusing us of believing in aliens and all that kind of stuff. We're just having a little fun. All right.
You can dismiss it all out of hand if you want to.
There was something last week. I saw something on Fox News where some aviators saw what they believed to be a UFO.
So send your emails to JJ and Tim, right, Ed?
They were drinking too much pot liquor, it sounds like to me.
Hey, so here's that ad. Those guys that run the ad for their insurance thing, at the end when they start talking fast, they say, not available in Roswell, New Mexico. Area 51.
Area 51 insurance. All right, we go to Kansas, and Brad is on the line. Brad, welcome to Trivia Friday.
All right, here we go, right?
Yeah, here you go. Jump in. The water's fine. You want to ask, answer, or do both?
Well, I was going to do both if I can I was going to answer the question about the son of the Jacob.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the Bible question I had. Who was Jacob's youngest son?
Well, he was the one that convinced his older brothers not to kill Joseph, if I remember right, and his name was Benjamin.
Benjamin. So Joseph had from Jacob came the 12 tribes.
Right.
Of Israel. Right?
Because Jacob's name was changed to Israel.
And you remember when Joseph was over in Egypt and his brothers came and he kept wanting to make sure that Benjamin was alive because Joseph and Benjamin had the same mother. And he kept saying, well, go back and get some more silver and I'll give you more grain, but the only way I'm going to do it is if you bring Benjamin back to prove that you're not spies.
Right.
And his dad said, I just can't do it. I've already lost his brother. And
right.
This would just... it'd be more than I can bear. And it took some doing. They had to be finally starving to death before he allowed Benjamin to go back to see Joseph. Then they had that wonderful reunion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Hey, what's your question for us?
Well, I want you guys to know I can actually answer every one of your questions.
Really? Oh, wow, that's great, man.
I can't guarantee you to be right.
you set us up right there.
That was wonderful.
Yeah. All right. It's a Christmas-related question because the season's coming up, so it's the only reason for the season. So,
okay.
When the shepherds were out in the field, tending their flocks by night, which I always thought flocks attended, to birds, not sheep or whatever they were watching.
Yeah.
Isn't that odd? Anyway, that's off the...
Right.
Yeah, you're thinking herds.
Yeah, but it says they're watching their flocks by night. And we have that one song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and all this stuff. And I want to ask, how many angels are they talking about?
Do you mean how many angels were singing? Is that your question?
That is correct.
The answer is zero, because the angels did not sing... It says, the verse says the angels were saying, but all the Christmas cards have gotten it wrong, and they said singing.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The angels were saying.
Saying. They weren't singing.
They weren't insane.
No, the only reason we got that is Burl Ives and all the rest of those guys. They said, do you remember the shepherds and the angels started singing? It just, the Bible says they were saying.
You know what? I don't receive that. Do you, Ed? I'm going to sing. I like the fact that you're singing.
Thanks a lot, Brad.
I want my angels singing.
Hey, and don't get us started, because it wasn't little baby Jesus in the. He was a young boy when they showed up with the three wise men.
I rebuke the both of you, JJ and Brad. Don't try to ruin
Christmas
for us.
Question with that?
Hey, Brad, we got the
question with that.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, well, you know how every year we have our birthday and everybody gets to know how old we are, and the older we get, the more we resent that. But anyway, how old is Jesus?
This is going to be another trick question. Are you talking about Jesus, the man?
Is he not?
The man, or are you talking about the Son of God? That's what I'm saying.
Is God.
He's still
alive, yes. So he has a number.
Okay, because I'm asking it because... the Son of God is eternal. That's I thought it was a trick question. You're talking about...
No.
Okay.
From the time he was born. What he may be getting at is, I think in Israel, they say the day you're born, you're one. And then so when you have your first birthday, I think this Israel, it might be China, but you're China. But it's... Then your first birthday, you're two. So
really?
Maybe that's what he's
talking
about.
Well, and plus, though, there's some question about, Jesus wasn't necessarily born what we consider year zero.
Right.
So
go ahead.
This gets confusing.
And it may be a punchline, so we may be wasting a lot of words here.
Brad? All right. Go ahead, Brad.
You think you know me so well. But no, historians, I don't know how they do it, but they estimate he was born in the year 4 B.C., which makes no sense. That's almost a conundrum, right? Because he was born 4 years before himself.
Christ, but right.
Well, that
so
has
if you
to
add
do-
that to 2018, he's 2,022 years old.
Yeah. And that actually has to do with the change of in the calendar as they
go
with the Gregorian calendar
and all that. Those chants.
You guys are sharp and on it today, so I'm going to have to come up with some tougher ones or something.
Thank you, Brad.
Hey, have a great weekend, Brad.
Yes, sir.
Good work on Trivia Friday. put a star on his paper. I guess you don't do that in college. So shall I continue? Why don't we go to Texas? Let's go to Texas. I think we should. Tommy is on the line. Tommy, welcome to Trivia Friday.
Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, sir. Do you want to ask, answer, or do both?
Both, please.
All right. Which question would you like to answer, Tommy?
The one where you pass the quill.
Okay, oh, yeah. Tommy. Thank you for taking a chance on my – well, it's no chance, really. It's just a guess. The question is, who passed the quill with the remark, "There, I guess King George can read that"?
I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it was John Hancock.
John Hancock. That's right. You know, Stephen McDowell in Providence Foundation, who goes with us on our spiritual heritage tours, he tells this story, and he said a lot of people down through history have thought, well, John Hancock must have been an arrogant man because he wrote his name so much larger than everybody else. But it was precisely for this reason. He wanted the king to see his name. And by the way, he was signing his death sentence, really.
Exactly.
These guys were.
What does it say? This, and their sacred honor, their life, and their
fortunes.
And their sacred honor.
John Hancock was his name, and he was the one who said that. Very good guess and correct answer.
Tommy, you got that right. And not only that, that event was so significant. It's funny how one thing in history can introduce something into our lexicon. To this very day, somebody will slide a paper over to you and say, put your John Hancock on there.
Yeah.
And that dates back to that experience.
People know
right
that
there.
Expression when they don't even know where
they
it came from.
They don't even know
from.
Why.
Right.
And that's where it came from.
That's exactly what I was thinking, you know, about, because it is common, put your John Hancock. So I was thinking, you know what, I bet you that's who it was.
Yeah.
Good job.
And I don't know anything about Jimmy Crack Corn. I don't know what that had to do with what, but we got that in our conversation as well. So maybe if
Jimmy
we can
crack.
Figure out what happened.
The whole meaning of the word crack changed too, didn't it?
If we can figure
out. In the 80s and 90s, you had to start being careful about using that around children.
If we can figure out what happened to cause that to be in our everyday conversation. Hey, what's your question for us, Tommy?
Okay. Just about everybody knows the name of the horse of the Lone Ranger being Silver. But what was Tonto's? What was the name of Tonto's horse?
Tonto's horse.
It was Bronze, wasn't it? Silver and Bronze. Silver and bronze. Have I none? Yes. Silver and bronze.
Burl Ives.
Silver and bronze.
What's the question? We don't know.
What was Tonto's horse's name?
I don't know. I don't know. Did he ever say?
Must have. All right, what was it, Tommy? This is why we have this show, to learn trivia like this.
It was Scout.
I think I have heard that.
Scalp, I guess. What in the world?
Scout.
That's not appropriate.
I'm going to keep Osabi. I named my horse Scout.
Scout. Scout with a T.
Lone Ranger, if I could have maintained that friendship. You're not riding with me today. Let's just change the name of your horse.
That totally inappropriate, Tonto.
S-C-O-U-T. Yeah, we might have needed the...
Oh, Scout.
Scout.
We might have needed the PC police to get here quicker than they did.
is right. All right, Tommy. Good work, brother. We appreciate it. You have a good weekend.
Oh, my word.
Talk about inappropriate. What, Tonto, you think that's funny?
Hey, Far Side, those who are alive in the 80s remember the Far Side cartoons, and there's one cartoon that showed Lone Ranger way retired, sitting in his lazy boy with a quilt over his lap, and he's got this Indian definition book.
Dictionary.
And yeah, dictionary. And it's got kemosabe, and then it's something just really terrible. And he's like, what?
No, it says horse's rear end.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Yeah, it's my favorite cartoon of all time, I think, of Farstad. I've got it on my door.
Oh, funny.
Showing
that he's looking at the definition.
Lone Ranger in a nursing home. Yeah. He's getting near the end, and he's reading an Indian dictionary.
And yeah. He says,
comes across the word kemosabe, and he finally finds out what it means, and it means horse's rear end.
Yeah.
He's thinking, man, all these years.
Yeah. I thought Tonto and his horse scalp were, I thought they were my friends.
That was a dead giveaway right there.
Hey, do we need to repeat our questions quickly?
Yeah, probably. All right, here we go with mine. What is the longest one-syllable word in the English language? Number two, what team won the World Series this year? And number three, what is an anagram? What is an anagram? And it's not something you send to your girlfriend or your wife on Valentine's Day. What is an anagram?
Here's what I've got. What is the first color mentioned in the Bible? What is the first color mentioned in the Bible? Second question, James Dean appeared as the leading man in just three movies. Name two of them. He was in three blockbusters. He was the leading actor. Name two of the three. And then I'll add one. What is the only English word that's using the first three letters of the alphabet? There's only one word that you can make out of ABC. What word is it?
There's only one word you
only
can make?
Only one word three? In the whole English language that you can make using the first three letters of the alphabet.
I know the answer to it. I didn't know it was the only one, but I guess it is.
All right, here are my three questions. Two of them are new. They're both Bible questions. What is the ninth commandment? You can't look it up now. I don't want you looking it up. I want you to memorize it.
Have it memorized.
What is the ninth? Well, look it up if you don't know, because you need to do that to memorize it. What is the ninth commandment? What is the ninth commandment? Number two, New Testament question. Why did Paul preach in Asia on his second missionary journey? Why did not Paul preach in Asia on his second missionary journey? There's a reason for that.
Okay.
And number three, still got this question left. What was the first book set in movable type? Movable type printer. What was the first book that came from that?
All right.
We got about a minute and a half, so let's get started.
All right, we'll go to North Carolina. Alan is on the line. Alan, welcome to Trivia Friday, and would you like to ask, answer, or do both?
I'd like to do both. I have a question. When you're talking about the longest word, did you say the longest single-syllable word or the longest word in the English language?
No, the longest one-syllable word in the English language.
Okay, I misunderstood that because I was going to answer anti-disestablishmentarianism, which is the longest word. But instead, I'll answer the question about what was the first book said in movable type.
Mm-hmm. What's the answer?
That was the Bible.
Yes, the what Bible? You're correct. You're correct.
A famous name to it.
You're correct. It was the Bible, but there was a, what was the formal name.
The formal name, I'm not sure of. Definitely it was not the King James because...
Right, that didn't come to later.
Came, right.
It was called the Gutenberg Bible because, okay. You probably know that now, Alan, because that was the name of the gentleman, he was German, who invented the movable...
Johann Gutenberg.
The movable type printing press, and the first book he produced was the Bible.
One of my biggest regrets...
It changed the world.
...was putting that Gutenberg Bible we had in the yard sale unknowingly.
Yeah, well...
Hey, Alan, do you need to ask us a question? Do we need to hold you over till after the break?
Yeah, you can hold me over if you want to.
All right. We're going to take a five-minute break, Alan, for news and be back with more Trivia Friday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
This is a special best of edition of today's issues.